I'd like to read for you the center of our gospel lesson again from Luke 1, 31 through 33. And the title of our sermon is Our Forever King. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for these words. We thank you for the fulfillment of these words. We thank you for the continuing fulfillment of these words. We thank you that you have sent forth Jesus Christ, that he is our King, that he is the King of the world, and that he remains. He will ever and always be the King over all. Give us the ability today to rest in that, and certainly to celebrate. In his name that we pray.
Amen.
Amen. The king is dead. Long live the king. For literally hundreds and hundreds of years, that proclamation has been known. It's been needed. It's been utilized in an earthly sense. All across the globe, across empires, across kingdoms, and even civilization itself. It is an odd proclamation. The king is dead. Long live the king. It's odd. It's even an oxymoron, saying two seemingly opposite things. The king is dead. Long live the king. What gives? In the affairs of men, us mere mortals, it is about the transition of power. It's about a stabilizing element. And when, not if, but when earthly rulers go the way of all flesh, that is, they die, the proclamation communicates the fact not only of their passing, but it also communicates there's no void. There's no space. There's no hint of instability or insecurity. There has been an immediate installment of one who will keep rule, who will keep order, who will keep peace, who will keep prosperity, who will keep security. You see, leaders come and go, and replacements are needed. And that is on the earthly plane. In an ultimate sense, concerning that which matters the most, there is no longer a need for any such proclamation. The king is dead. Long live the king. In that ultimate sense, it's no longer needed. Christmas changed all of that. Born to us is a forever king. He is our forever king. That's what the gospel lesson is all about. It's about the fact that Jesus is alive and his kingdom is under no threat whatsoever. I can think of plenty of nations who are under severe threat today, including our own. But not his kingdom. not his kingdom. He is under no threat, his kingdom. And so songs like Joy to the World are so incredibly appropriate for us today. And the song that we opened with, that's why we come and we worship Christ, the newborn King. Because it changes all of that. Our gospel lesson was comprised of 13 verses in total. The first five and the last five round out some of the details of the whole setting of this proclamation that Jesus is this newborn King and this forever King. Five in the beginning, five at the end. Details and setting. And we read about the angel Gabriel. He is mentioned. We read about Joseph. We read about Mary. We even read about Elizabeth. And that leaves three central verses, the crux of the matter, what the gospel is really getting at. And we have them here in verses 31 through 33, and I open the sermon with those verses. I could elaborate very broadly on each of these three, but I'm going to elaborate on them very briefly. In verse 31, this forever King is identified for us. His name is Jesus. This is a transliteration of the Hebrew, Yehoshua. It means God is salvation. That's what his name means. That's who he was and is. Yeshua, in the English, Joshua. The name is Jesus. Well, what's in the name, you might say? Well, Mary was there, Joseph was there, Gabriel was there, Elizabeth was there. I'm here to tell you, those names, they could have been Sally or Fred or Paul, and as bad as it might sound in our culture, even Karen. Imagine being a Bible character and your name is Karen in our culture. You don't want to be a Karen. But Jesus is different. God is salvation. Jesus marks deity. And it is exactly his deity that means there is no longer any occasion to say the King is dead. Can we just briefly apply that to our lives for a minute? In whatever chaos we may feel that we are in, whatever chaos we may feel our country's in, whatever chaos we may feel that the world is in, this means that no matter how unstable your life may seem, Jesus, the Lord of all, and the Lord of your life, he lives. You have, right now, presently, you have eternal hope. Our God reigns. The Old Testament prophets would proclaim. This means that no matter who else may fail you? And when I say fail you, I mean even by their death, by leaving you. Whoever may fail you, and however they fail you, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a politician, maybe it's someone in your past, an authority figure. Maybe your principal did you wrong, or a classmate. Or maybe a pastor. Or maybe a policeman. No matter whoever else may fail you, for whatever reason, your King lives. He lives. lives, bringing all of you, all of his benevolence into our lives. That is really good news. And that never changes. Through all the ups and downs of life. You know, on that earthly plane there, those folks there, boy, when the king said, when they said that the king was dead, it would be like, oh, what can we do now? What's going to happen to us? And what about this problem and that problem and the other problem? In this area, which matters the most in our lives, we have none of that. Verse 32 in this passage points us to the Davidic covenant. What did verse 32 in this passage say? It says, he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Remember that Old Testament lesson? Let's take a look at verse 12 in that lesson. And when your days shall be fulfilled, and you shall sleep with your father, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. There's a new kingdom. And in verse 13, what does it say? He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. You know, and this isn't just in a few of these scriptures that I'm looking at here. You can look at the whole book of Daniel, and it talks about the establishment of the kingdom of Christ as the forever kingdom. The other kingdoms are knocked down. The stone made without hands, and that mountain goes away. His kingdom endures forever. This imagery is all over. This foreverness. Look at verse 16 in this passage. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever. Your throne shall be established forever. The Old Testament looked to the day that Christ would come, that Christ would be born. Christmas Day. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? That king is now sitting on the throne. Find your respite there. Then we come to Luke 1 and 33. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. All of the Old Testament pointed this way. On Thursday night, as we were praying, I happened upon Psalm 48. For this God is our God, forever and ever. That's who we worship. Let's take a look at Psalm 72. We sang a bit of it just a moment ago. Well, let's look at some of the detail of what forever really means. Let it really sink in here. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure. Last I looked, the sun and the moon are still there. He's in charge. Throughout all generations. Next verse we have, I think it's 7. In his day shall the righteous flourish. And the abundance of peace, so long as the moon endures. Do you know that no matter what calamity comes our way, on this ultimate level, we can have an abundance of peace. The United States of America can be in utter chaos. It's pretty close to that today. But all's well in the kingdom. And the king lives. By the way, in verse 8, he shall have dominion also from the sea to sea and from the river unto the end of the earth. He has dominion. You know, there's a big squabble going on in the world right now. A squabble about who owns or who has the rights to the real estate over there. What is sometimes called the Holy Land. Who's the rightful owner? Who has the rights to it? We hear the expression, from the river to the sea, some say. Well, guess what? The rightful owner is not the people of Palestine. And the rightful owner are not the Jews. The rightful owner of that piece of real estate and every piece of real estate is Jesus. From sea to sea. Not from the river to the sea, but from the river to the ends of the earth. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Yeah, we wait that day. In an ultimate sense, though, they are serving him. They're serving out his purposes. Remember, God is revealing in the universe not only his mercy, but his justice. And for those who are rejecting him, present day, they are serving him, and he is revealing his justice against them. U.S. included, if I can put it that way. How about verse 17 of this chapter? His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as there is the sun again. Men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Verse 19 of this chapter. Blessed be his glorious name for how long? Forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Our New Testament lesson was from Romans 16, 25 through 27. Romans is the gospel of God. Good theology. You know, this whole idea of sacrificial sacrifice of Christ and, our sins go on to him and his righteousness go on to us. That's all wonderful, but it's bigger and better than that. This gospel of God ends with this idea that he is the everlasting God. He is the everlasting God who is made known to all nations. What do we read from the mouth of Jesus? My house shall become a house of prayer. For all people. His father's house was a house of prayer for all people. I like to reference a psalm. You know, our lectionary readings have always a psalm attached to them. And the one attached to us today, to our lectionary today, is Psalm 89. I'm going to read these from the ESV, I think. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. I will sing forever. Because, right? We no longer have to say the king is dead, long live the king. He is living, he will ever live. Because it's forever, I will sing. That's a good response. That's a great thing for us to do on Christmas, to sing joy to the world and come and worship the newborn king. Because he's here forever. I will sing of the steadfast Lord, forever with my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to me and my kids and way beyond that. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. There it is again. Verse 4, I will establish your offspring forever. Speaking to David here. And build the throne for all generations. This is wonderful news. Looking to Jesus, let's take a look at verse 19 of this chapter. Of old you spoke in a vision, your godly one, and said, I have granted help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. Jesus is the chosen one. Look at verse 20 of this passage. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. And as we go through these things that are partially found to be true in David and then partially found true in a fuller sense in Solomon, they are ultimately found to be true in the person of Jesus Christ and his anointed. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, Christ meaning the anointed one. what it means. Christ isn't his last name, it's a title. He is the fulfillment of the line of David as the one supremely anointed. In verse 20 of this very same passage, I have found David, my servant. Did I get that right? We just looked at that one. Right? Mm-hmm. Did I miss 19? Did I have you miss 19?
There's 19.
Oh, we looked at 19. Let's move on here to verse 21 now. Somehow I skipped a verse here about David. Oh, I know what the connection was. The connection was this. Those apply to David. But you know what? Over and over in the New Testament, people run up to Jesus, and what do they say? Have mercy upon me, O thou son of David. They knew that Jesus was the fulfillment of this. Have mercy upon me, O thou son of David. Verse 21 here. My hand shall be established in him, my arm shall be strengthened, the enemy shall not outwit him. Christ is not being faked out today. All the conniving that may be going on, the UN, you know, the politicians, whatever they're doing here, he's not being outsmarted. The wicked shall not humble him. He will crush his foes before him, strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted, meaning his power will be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He's in command. His right hand is the hand of action. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love will I keep for him forever. And my covenant will stand fast for him. I will establish his offspring. Christ is established forever. And his throne as the days of heaven. All this was true, as promises to David and to David's house. How much more is it true of great David's greater son? And in a sense, Solomon was David's greater son. But how much more is it true of Jesus? Far greater than David. And not only his greater son, but the greatest of his sons. Christmas brought us Jesus. It brought us our forever King. Our instruction and our application is to bow to him. Our further instruction and application is to rest in him. It is to take heart. Just like those who formulated that proclamation, the King is dead, long live the King. The point of that is peoples, be at rest. The King is in charge. No instability. Maximum security. Bow to him. Take heart. Resting in him. And sing his glorious praises. And all God's people said, amen. Father God in heaven, we thank you for our celebration here on this fourth Sunday in Advent of this one who was born King of the Jews, who will never die. And so in that ultimate sense, of those things that are most important to us, we need not fret nor worry. Your kingdom is going nowhere. Nowhere but advancing. Thank you, Lord God, that we can be a part of it and we can have joy. And we can participate in what you are doing in the world. So help us to bow. Help us to rest. Help us to take heed and to take heart. And help us to sing. In Jesus' name.